We do not know who wrote Psalm 46. The superscription that is on top of the psalm says, of the sons of Korah. It means the Korahites were a branch of Levites who sang in the temple choir. The Hebrew here is a little tricky, because it could either mean written by the Korahites or dedicated to the Korahites. According to scholars, Psalm 46 to 48 were written by one same person. But unfortunately, we do not know when the author wrote the psalm. However, what we know is that something had happened to the city of Jerusalem. It was saved, and these psalms were written to remember that event. Many of us believe that this psalm was written when the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, invaded Jerusalem in 701 BC, when King Hezekiah was on the throne. Hezekiah took the crisis that he was facing to God, and God then protected Jerusalem. And within one night, 185 Assyrian soldiers died as they were surrounding Jerusalem. They seem to have been stricken by a strange disease. But again here, we do not know what actually happened. The Greek historian Herodotus wrote of the invasion and acknowledged many Assyrian deaths, which he claimed were a result of mice. But exactly what it was, we do not know. All 2 Kings 19:35 to 36 said was, when the Assyrian soldiers woke up the next morning, they were all dead bodies. So this much we know. As a result, Sennacherib had to withdraw hastily back to Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, where he was later murdered by his sons in fulfillment of God's prophecy. So if Psalm 46 to 48 were written during this period, then perhaps the author would be the prophet Isaiah. Indeed, many of the words in these psalms were also words that Isaiah used in his book. And these were not used by the other biblical writers. So here we may possess at least three psalms that were penned by the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. But again, we do not know for sure. But this we know, that this psalm was written in commemoration of Jerusalem being saved from its enemies. The God who was Jerusalem's refuge and strength in days past is also our refuge and strength today. So Psalm 46:1 opens with these reassuring words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. As we know, a refuge is a place of shelter and protection and safety. Recently, to mark the 70th anniversary of the battle for Singapore, an air raid shelter at Guan Chuan Street in Tiong Bahru was opened to the public. It was built for people to hide when the Japanese Zero fighters attacked Singapore. when the air raid sirens went off, people would flee from their homes into the safe shelter. The shelter kept the people who hide there protected and safe from falling bombs. One lady interviewed actually mentioned that she was born in that shelter when her mother took refuge there amidst the aerial bombardment. What better picture can you have of a refuge? Apart from being a hiding place for His people, God is also the source of strength to them, sustaining them in difficult times. When we feel so helpless and have no strength left to carry on, God takes over. He is our strength. He is an ever-present help in trouble, a help that is always at hand. He is always there to do all that for us which we need. One whom we never seek for, but is always near to us. And we cannot desire a better help, nor shall we ever find the like in anyone else. God is an all-sufficient God to us. We do not fear, not because we are born courageous. We do not fear because the God whom we place our trust in can be depended upon. Indeed, we will not fear though the earth give way, when our confidence fail us and sink beneath us, and that which should support us threaten to swallow us up. We will not fear, for we have no cause to fear, and we have nothing to fear. We suppose the earth would be removed and thrown into the sea. Even the sturdiest mountain would lie beneath the deepest oceans. Even the oceans roar and rage and make a dreadful noise with its foaming billows pounding and crashing the shore with so much violence even as to shake the foundations. We need not fear, for God knows we need to be strengthened and helped, and it is not a sin for us to look for help. We are not escaping, but as we take refuge in God, we are hidden by Him, rejuvenated by Him, so that we can later return and face our responsibilities again. So run to God. Gain the grace and the strength we need, and then go back. God is our refuge. We need not fear. We shift our focus from the turbulent sea in verse 2 to a quiet river in verse 4. Until I visited Israel recently, I had no idea how crucial water is to the land. Although I had our share of water rationing in Singapore, but it was chicken feed in that sense. Many ancient cities in the world were founded beside a river because of the proximity of water supplies. But not Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem until Hezekiah dug the famous tunnel which that bore his name, Hezekiah's Tunnel. So the psalmist in Psalm 46 was probably talking about this elaborate underground water system that had been supplying Jerusalem with clear, clean water within her walls when she was under attack and surrounded by the Assyrian army. But one thing we realize is that the psalmist acknowledges not so much the hidden river that enabled Jerusalem to be impregnable, but rather the psalmist acknowledged God. And verse 5 says it very clearly. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Today we constantly congratulate ourselves for being so well supplied by God at ORPC. Well endowed, well supplied with rich resources. We are so blessed. But we need to remind ourselves time and again that it is not the blessings per se that builds ORPC. It is God. And the moment we forget that, the moment we begin to rely on our resources rather than God alone, that day will be the day of our downfall. The moment we forget that it is God that we should be thankful for and give praise, rather than our strategic location, rather than our well-endowed congregation, rather than our very gifted people. All these are important. But if we do not acknowledge God and choose to acknowledge all these, we are headed towards doom. So let us not forget God in the midst of our abundance. Let us continue to acknowledge Him and give Him His due and continue to rely upon Him. When we look at verse 6 reminds us that nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Indeed, God alone is our strength. We rely on no other, and we cannot depend on the world around us or any other resource. The world contains only of broken systems, and it is only from Jesus that we get the spiritual resources that we need. So take time to drink at the river. Let God refresh us and restore us and strengthen us for the day. God is our strength. We need not faint. Next, we see verse 8, inviting us, but also those who do not believe in God. Christian, Jew, non-believer. The verse invites all to come and see for ourselves the surprising things God had done upon the earth. It is what the Hebrew text implies here. God has done surprising things for us, because no one would think that they would happen. But yet in verse 9, we read of the most powerful enemies were left as desolations, and their weapons of war destroyed, as God takes charge. Interestingly, the address in verse 10, "Be still and know," is plural in the Hebrew. It is an address not to us as commonly supposed, but addressed to the nations. In other words, to the people who do not believe in God. God is speaking particularly to those who do not worship Him, that He will be exalted among them ultimately as well. And this is the meaning of the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, in verse 11. As the psalmist closes with a repetition of faith's confidence in God, which Martin Luther's hymn that we will sing afterwards. A mighty fortress is our God. As the psalmist twice mentioned the God of Jacob, he reminds us that God will not give us up. Yes, all of us prefer to identify ourselves with Abraham. After all, he was called God's friend. He was well known for his faith and obedience towards God. But God is also the God of Jacob. Jacob the schemer, Jacob the crook. God is the God of Jacob. And He will never give up even the feeblest and most unbelieving of the people. Though God may chasten them, but it is for their own good and blessing in the end. Indeed, God is our help. We need not fret. Finally, as God challenges us all to obey the command, "Be still and know that I am God," let us also know that we should be doing our part. Let us also know when we should be doing our part and when we should be allowing God to do His part, to work out things without our interfering. It sounds as if it is a guessing game, but it is not, because God is real and God will respond when we approach Him. While there are times when we are called to accomplish certain things, there are also times when we are called to leave things to God. It takes wisdom, it takes sensitivity, it takes a relationship with God to know, even as we seek God's will, when we let Him take over. Now, all this may sound very mystic, but knowing God is building up a relationship with God. And this can be done when we pray, when we talk to God. When we learn to surrender to God and acknowledge Him as Lord of our lives, we will learn when to hold on and when to let go, because God will show to us when we ask Him, and we ask through prayer. God's will can be known when we are willing to let God be God. If you have never done it before, try. Talk to God. Tell Him you want to relate to Him. And you will find God listening and responding. God is our refuge. We need not fear. God is our strength. We need not fret. God is our help. We need not fret. He is also the God of Jacob. Your God and my God. Come to Him today.